class, I do it too, too. That's all right. We caught it by now. We're only looking at the first example. Okay, folks. I forgot about you. So, I've set up three arrays. We'll have a little rehash quickly. I've got three arrays. One is what city I'm going from. And I've listed those as Boston, New York, Austin, and Washington. And what city I'm going to, and we'll list those as Istanbul, Baku, and London. And I will tell you that Baku is, we spend more time on that anyway, that Baku is the capital of Azerbaijan. Okay, and then the next array is a two-dimensional array, which is price array. And the first number three tells what one we're going from, and the next number points to what we're going to. Okay, so when I'm going in on a two-dimensional array, I've got to tell both the from and the to. Okay? So now I went inside my code, which is when they hit the get the price. And the first thing I want to know is if is numeric. Okay, so that's what I want to know, and that's text from, because we're typing in the number. So I want to know if text from is numeric and it is less than 4. Then I'll continue on. If not, I will go to the else. Okay? And when I get to the else, I'm asking if text 2 is numeric and it's less than 3. Okay? So at this point, I'm telling them what's wrong. If the second number is numeric, then I'm going to tell them that the from city is not valid, but the to city is valid. If I take the else on this second if numeric question down under the else, I'm going to be saying both are invalid. Okay, so if I run this, I think I probably took the picture of that about 10 times, but anyway. Okay, if I run this and I put in an A and a 2, hello? Why should I get that? This worked. That's interesting. Okay. Okay, so let's try it a different way. Let's put in a 5 and a 2 and at least get that. 5 and a 2. And say get price, and it says from city is not valid, to city is valid. Okay, so that's okay. Interesting that it threw out the top one, and I'm going to try that one more time. And say get price, and no, it's crashing. Okay, so when I originally wrote this, it'll let me do this, and apparently it's not anymore, and I didn't run this recently. But if is numeric should then be kept separate. Apparently the and testing it also for a number at the same time gave it pause. And so if I separate those up into two separate statements, it will be fine. And do the is numeric test separate. Okay. I don't like that. I'm going to experiment with that and play with it, but that would be the solution. And I don't understand why it is doing that exactly. But apparently it only wants me to test for the less than 4. It depends on the way it tests. My assumption worked when I had this before because I did not have a program out there that didn't work. is that it was going to stop if it wasn't numeric and not look at the and. But apparently it is looking at the and is not happy with the fact that I put them both together. And so that would have to be changed. And as I said, I will change that. But that's interesting because it's not, it hasn't always been true. So then I went on and I tested for the next one. And if that one was numeric and in the right range, I continued. If not, I put out from the city is valid, but to city is not valid. Okay? Because I made the, I got through the first if, which told me that from city was valid. Now, what I did is I then took from, if it was valid, and put it in from pointer. And I did that more because it's easier, for me at least, to have it in a pointer or a short word rather than writing inside price array, parenthesis, C-I-N-T, text from text, etc. So I just find it easier to store it in a work area. So I put it in a work area called from price. And if the other one passed my test, I put it in a work area called to price. And then I said, okay, work price is equal to go to the array and get the thing out. So it went to the array, got the stuff out. And then I put together the message that I wanted to put out. So I said, the place to fly from. And then I concatenated that with from city, and I used the from pointer to get the from city. And then the ampersand, and then the underscore means I'm continuing on the next line. I'm continuing a literal on the next line. And I have the word to, and I concatenated that with to city with its pointer, and I concatenated that with is, and I concatenated that with format currency work price. And then I took that and put it out in TextFair. And I could have written that all in one line and not worried about it. Okay. So I've now got it out there. And I've put it out as what it would cost me. So again, if I put this in and I pick 3, let me get down there. I pick 3 and 0 because I can see that on the screen. And say get price, it says the price from flying from Washington, D.C. to Istanbul is $750. And you can see down here the $750. And why it's letting me do this without going to a magic spot is beyond me, and I shouldn't say that because now it'll make me click my magic spot before I can write, but anyway. Okay. So I went and I grabbed the city names, and then I grabbed the price. Questions? Okay. So that is using a two-dimensional array. Okay, airfare implicit. Okay. This is just showing you another way to set up the array. Okay, so I got rid of the old way, and I'm setting up the array. And I dimmed it as single, and I put all of those things in. And you can see I've got curly braces embedded within curly braces. And so I've got the numbers going across in the same way that I did before. But now I've got the outer is in curly braces. Each of the rows is in its own set of curly braces. And I follow it by a comma and an underscore, meaning I'm moving on to the next. And dim price as comma. I'm curious to see if that will go away if I can. Okay, so this one, if I put in a 2 and a 2, it says the price to fly from Austin, Texas to London is, and it gives me the price of $496.98. Okay, so 2 means 0, 1, 2. Counting in 0, 1, 2 gets me to 496. Okay, so I count down 0, 1, 2, and then when I get to the third row, I count in 0, 1, 2, and that gets me the 496.98. This is a lot less time to write. I don't know. There's a part of it that I find it, you know, you have to know what the numbers mean. So it's a little bit less explanatory, but it works just fine. And everything else is the same. What I wanted to try, and I'm going to try something that I actually meant to try last night when I was looking at these, but I was looking at it from a different source, and I think I tried it. No, it wants that comma in there. And I meant to take that out and try it.
All right, so how do you have those in there? Like in the braces? Like the 0, 1, 2. So the first.
Well, if you look down at the bottom, I mean, that's why I commented the bottom out as opposed to, huh?
Each one you've got up there is a row.
Right. So the 0, 0, 0 down here is a row. 800, 987, 299. So basically, this is 0, 1, 2, 3. Going across at 0, 1, 2. Okay. So the 800 is the 0, 0. The 0, 1 is the 987. The 0, 2 is the 299.
Right.
Then the 1, 0, you know, if you come down here and look at them, that's why I just commented those out. Is so that you could see the numbers that I'd had before. Okay. So it's totally your choice which one you decide to do if you're setting up one of those. And then there's an array for each. So I've got get data, and I said end of the budget. Actually, I think we looked at this one, didn't we?
I think so.
Yeah. So we're all done with that. We looked at that, and the for each goes through each one. And then we looked at it going 1 to 6. So we looked at this. Process data gives me the total. And the for each
is basically saying for each work department budget in the budget array. And your budget array was a bunch of numbers.
And I'm saying for each. And I just typed in the numbers. So this is what we talked about last time, is that I can fill an array by setting it up, or I can fill it by taking in the data. And the jewelry customer that my husband had would be a good example of why you would want to take in data. Okay, I just looked at that and thought it said array or fair. Okay. The sort, and I'm going to first look at the bubble sort. So we're going to look at bubble sort. Okay, now what this does is it writes. So I say enter numbers, and I'm going to enter 24, and enter 5, and enter 10, and enter 12, and enter 20, and there it is. So there are the numbers that I entered.
Okay. 24, 5, 10, 12, 20, and 24.
And if I sort them, I am going to get 5, 10, 12, 20, 24. Okay? So I've now got them in order. I sorted them in order. Now, way back when, we had to know how to do a bunch of sorts, and I'm still going to make you do a sort, because it's great data manipulation, and data manipulation is important to know how to do. Nowadays, there is a nice little sort verb that says, okay, put this in, and magic happens. And so there is the behind-the-scenes code that is doing the sort. Okay, so you will probably never have to write a sort in your lives except to get a grade from me, okay? Because, again, it's actually good data manipulation. So I start out, and this is the logic that I am going through. So I have two loops, one inside of another, and it's just good logic is basically what it boils down to. And I have two loops that go one inside the other. Okay, if you go back to my home page and you look under notes and handouts, there is someplace a sort. Come on. Bubble sort. Notes on the bubble sort. And there's another sort there called the top-down sort. Okay, so this is notes on a bubble sort. And notes on a top-down sort go kind of like that. Okay. Actually, I thought I had a presentation on that. I wonder if I do still. It would be old if it did. See it. So we're going to go in and look at the notes. Okay, so notes on a bubble sort. So I'm starting out with a bubble sort, and I'm going to have a couple of subscripts. So I said, assume we're starting out with the numbers 5, 6, 2, 3, 4. Sub 1 will point to the first thing we want to compare, and sub 2 will point to the second thing. Okay, by thing, I mean these numbers. Okay, so it is going to start out, the first thing I want to compare is the first number here, and the second thing I want to compare is the second number. Okay, so it says at the top, sub 1 will point to the first thing we want to compare, and sub 2 will point to the second. Endpoint is set to how many numbers we're checking. Since we're starting out at 5 numbers, endpoint is initially set to 5. Now, the way a bubble sort works is that when we no longer have anything to flip, we're going to flip things. If they need to be, the order needs to be changed. And if we no longer have anything to flip, then we are going to say that the sort is done. Okay? So I started out with the numbers going 5, 6, 2, 3, 4. And let me move that in just a little bit, and then it will not have that tab in front of it. So I initialized sub 1 at 1, and I initialized sub 2 at 2. I initialized endpoint as 5 because I've got the 5 numbers. And I initialize flip count as 0, and after I'm all done, that's what I end up with. Okay? So I am comparing the first thing with the second thing. If you look down at the next little block beneath, I said sub 1 points to the A, sub 2 points to the 5. Sub 2 points to the 6. Okay? So I compare them, and 5 is less than 6, so they're in order, so I leave them alone. Okay? Then I move on, and a bubble sort means that I bubble down, so I look at 1, 2, and then I go down and I look at 2, 3. And then I go down and I look at 3, 4, and then I look at 4, 5. So I bubble down, as opposed to always taking the top one and comparing everything to that. I bubble down. So I then change sub 1 to 2, and I change sub 2 to 3, and I compare. And 6 is greater, okay, than 2. So I need to flip. It's not less than 2, so I need to flip them around. Because, again, I'm trying to get these in order. So I flip them around. So we'll look at what the code is when I flip it in a minute. I'm just going through this for the logic. So I flip it, and now I've got 5, 2, 6. I flipped those two, so I've now got 5, 2, 6. So then I add 1 to sub 1, adds 1 to sub 2, they're at 3, 4, and so I look at the 3rd and the 4th, which are now 6 and 3, and I need to flip them. So I flip them to 3, 6, and notice each time I'm adding 1 to flip count. This is flip count. And so now I've got 5, 2, 3, 6, 4. So now I go down and I compare the 4th and the 5th, and they need to be flipped because they're 6, 4, and I am going to flip them so that they're 4, 6. So I now end up with 5, 2, 3, 4, 6. Okay. At this point, when I add 1, I am greater than the end point. Okay. Sub 2 is greater than the endpoint. There is no sixth item, so I can't compare to a sixth item. Okay? So I go back, and I set them back to 1 and 2. Okay? And I set the flip count back to 0. And I check the flip count. If the flip count was nothing, then I know that I was good. Okay. So then I go in here, and I'm looking at the first and the second, and I flip them. So I have 2, 5. And then I look at the second and third, and I flip them so that I've now got 2, 3, 5. And then I look at the third and the fourth, and I flip them so I now have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? And basically, I'm done. And I run through a second pass because I did do some flips. So I have to run through one more pass to keep flip count 0. And I'm all set.
Why do you want to keep the count 0?
I want to start at 0 for the next time. If flip count indicates I did some flipping, I don't know if I'm done or not. So I want to run through one pass where I don't do any flips. Because if I don't do any flips, then I know I'm done. Okay? And each time, the way the bubble saw works, and I didn't mention this, but if you look back up at the bottom of pass 1 and pass 2, I said 6 locked at the end, so I subtract 1, which means I don't have to worry about it anymore. The 6 is locked out at the end. So basically the bubble saw filters the bottom, the biggest thing to the bottom, because I keep flipping, and it filters the biggest thing to the bottom. Okay? So that's the logic that goes through on a bubble sort. And people still do sorts sometimes for some reason or another, but as I said, this is more of an exercise in data manipulation than a practical exercise. Okay, now the only difference between that handout that I did and this is that I'm now going to start with 0 and 1 instead of 1 and 2. Okay, as I told you, Visual Basic used to have, you have the choice. And so I made the choice of 1 and 2 when I was doing that example. But in fact, now I don't as much want the choice, so I'm going with 0 and 1. So, I set up I as an integer. I set up dim endpoint as 4. Because I'm going 5 numbers again, so it's 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. I set up flip count as 9. And I did that because I am getting out of here for one of two reasons. I'm getting out of here because endpoint has gone down to 0, which means there's nothing left to flip. All flip count has been 0. Well, if I had set flip count at 0, which is what I wanted to do, I would have gotten out before I ever went in. So I kind of jerry-rigged it and made flip count a 9 for now, just so that I would enter the thing, because it really was a nice comparison I wanted. So I cheated, or whatever you want to say, but programmers do that all the time. I jury-rigged it. And so now I've got 9 there. Then I set up sub 1, sub 2, and I set up dim hold slot. Now you'll see why I need hold slot. So I said do until endpoint equals 0. Okay, and endpoint started at 4, so I'm going to keep subtracting 1 from it. And when it gets to 0, there's nothing left to compare. And I'm setting flip count at 9. And so basically that means that I go in. Okay, because I've got endpoint set at something and flip count set at something, so I go in. So I set my sub 1 equal to 0 and my sub 2 equal to 1. And my flip count equal to 0. So now I can make it what I really wanted to make it because I'm already inside. Okay. Then I said do until sub 2 is greater than endpoint. Okay, so endpoint's a 4. I'm going to do this until sub 2 is greater than endpoint. Then I'm checking to see if I want to flip. That's what the if statement is all about. Now I have this problem. I'm saying if the number in the array modified by someone is greater than the number in the array modified by sub 2.
Okay, so basically, let's say that I've got the numbers 12, 2, 7, 8, no, 18, 6. Okay, so those are the numbers that I've got. And I've got them sitting in an array. Okay, so this is in an array. And so when I say if num array modified by sub 1, I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at that. Okay, so those are the two that I'm looking at.
Okay, the zeroth and the first. Now, the problem is when I flip those, I need to flip them. But if I move the 2 on top of the 12, then I've lost track of what the 12 is. And if I move the 12 down on top of the 2, I've lost track of what the 2 is. So that's why I need a hold area. So I said, okay, I'm going to have a hold slot. And I'm saying a hold slot is going to equal number array modified by 1. And I could have done this either way. So I move the 2 over to there. Okay. Then I said, okay, now move the thing in the first slot down here and make that 12. Okay. And now take the thing in the hold area and move back and make that 2. So that I can flip them. Because I can't flip them unless I hold on to one of them. Because when I move them, they're going to wipe out what used to be there. And when I'm doing this by hand, I probably am smart enough, if the phone doesn't ring, to remember what it is that was there. But if the computer can't remember what was there. So I put it in a hold area so that it will remember what was there. And then because I did a flip, I add 1 to flip count. And then either way, I want to now add 1 to sub 1 and add 1 to sub 2 so that I can look at the next set. Okay, so sub 1 started out at 0, sub 2 started out at 1, now I'm making them 1 and 2. Okay? So I loop back and say do until sub 2 is greater than endpoint. It's not. And now I am comparing the second and the third thing. Do they need to be flipped? Yeah, they do. Okay? So I take and I put the 7 over here. And then I move the, 12 down to here. And I move the 7 up to there. So I'm little by little manipulating this stuff and making it work. And then I go through until sub 2 is greater than endpoint. And if it's greater than endpoint, I drop out. I subtract 1 from endpoint because what I'm going to end up with is the biggest number at the bottom. So 18 is eventually, I'm going to be flipping these 2. And 18 is going to land at the bottom. And so I make endpoint 3 because I don't have to check the bottom one anymore. If I didn't subtract 1 from endpoint, it wouldn't do any harm. I could just keep doing it. But it saves a little bit of time. And so I loop back up and I say do until endpoint is 0. Well, I just subtracted 1. If it made it 0, I'm out of here. Or if I went through without doing any flipping, that means that they were in order, so I'm out of here. Otherwise, I go back in, and I start back out at 0 and 1. So I start at the top again. And I go through, and I do the flipping when needed, and keep doing that until eventually I have them all. And then I've got a for statement that writes out the results of doing the flipping.
Would it be an error if somebody put in 2 of the same number?
No, and it wouldn't flip them. I tested for the greater than,
okay.
So it wouldn't flip them when they were next to the 2 numbers.
Okay.
No, it would be fine if they put in two numbers. Do you understand the logic of how that works?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
But you said there's a program that does this for you,
right? Right.
Thank God. Because if you had to sort of, you had to write that into every program you had to do?
Well, every program that you wanted things sorted.
Copy and paste.
Huh?
Yeah, copy and paste.
That's right, that's right. So I'm going to have you do the top-down sort. So at some point, I will probably put it up there so you can do it if you want to over break, or you can do it after break. I'll say it's due in 2 weeks, or the week after. But I'm going to have you do the top-down, and I told you there were notes right next to where I was on the top-down. And so I want you to go through and look at the logic of a top-down sort. Now, if you go and search online, I'm sure you will find these. And I'm sure, though, that they won't be in Visual Basic. They'll probably be in C++. So you will then have to translate them into Visual Basic.
Why would anybody Google that? I don't understand that.
Google how to do it?
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine.
It takes the logic out of learning.
That's right. Yeah? You'd never think of Googling it.
Oh, I do once I get stuck in the sand, once I can't figure it out myself, I'll go try.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I want to learn it. Because if somebody gives you the answer, you don't
get it.
You don't learn.
You're right.
You're going
to forget it.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say I don't do it because I do, but I mean,
yeah, right.
I try to understand it before.
Oh, I do the same thing. I mean, but I Google stuff.
For hours, then I'm like,
But the problem is that Googling has both pros and cons because sometimes
they give you the wrong information.
You have
sometimes
to.
Sometimes it's something you don't even understand. Like,
and sometimes, right, they're telling you a technique that hasn't been covered yet.
And every programmer is different because I go to a site C++ when I need help. Like every programmer out there is different from like everything they're teaching me to program. I don't know if it's older.
Or just a different style.
Yeah.
What?
That's what I'm saying. There's a million different ways to do it.
Yeah, but see, he's listening. We just don't know he's listening, but he's here. Every programmer has a different style. Every once in a while when I'm doing something. Why? What's he doing?
I asked him if he got the validation done on that assignment that I was doing this week.
No. Yeah.
Why am I doing
now? As I said, every once in a while, I'll say to my husband, who's also a programmer, you do this problem. I want to see how you're going to handle it. And we'll look at it. We handled it totally differently. You know, very frequently. We just did a totally different approach to doing it. Or a partial different approach, because we just thought of the problem differently. And you'll see that... You know, no two programmers will program exactly alike. But that's one of the problems of going out and looking things up is it's hard to then... One of the reasons why I don't give homework from the book is I'm assuming there are solutions to all the book problems out there if you Google hard enough. You know, if somebody put them in, I'm pretty sure.
I just play around with what they give you in the book. Try to
get an understanding of what you're doing. Exactly. And, I mean, most students do that, but then sometimes you run into people that just want a grade. Okay, if I go here, and I'm getting is sources, that's not what I want. Hello? Okay, that I guess will work. I have no idea what's going on. Okay, if I go to CIS 156 again and look under notes and handouts, there are the notes on top-down sorting. Okay, and those are basically what I'm going to ask you to do is the top-down sort. So I'm going to ask you to do it, so do it when it's convenient. I'm going to add it to this week, but if you'd rather get caught up than do this, I think that's actually probably the better thing to do, and then do it if you get caught up. Okay, one big thing to notice in the top down is it goes 1, 2, and then add 1 to sub 2 and add 2 sub 3. So it goes 1, 2, 1, yeah, I said it wrong. Add 1 to sub 2, making it 3. That's what I want to say. So it's going to go the top one for the first pass, sub 1 is going to stay 1. And sub 2 is going to go 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's going to go through so you can see it. Sub 2 is going 2, 3, 4, and that's what the top down is about. Flip count isn't used in top down because you can't lock it. It's not going to lock in the thing at the bottom because it's starting with 1 and it's going to go through. Okay, so the smallest thing will end up at the top. Okay. And so it goes through there and then it resets and starts the pass now with 2 and then it goes 2, 3, 4, 5. And so it locks in the top thing. But again, there's no guarantee that the flip count doesn't work with this because of the style. So you have to get out when you're done. You have to go all the way through.
It's still sawing it the same way, it's just a different way of sawing it.
Just a slightly different way of sawing.
No, you said top down, so I figured it was a saw reverse.
So there is the notes for a top-down sort.
Where is the link for that?
Under notes and handouts. If you go in under notes and handouts, and right down there, top-down sort. Under logic notes, it's top-down sort. Okay. I'm just kind of curious. Presentations under VBNet. Because I could have sworn there was a presentation here someplace. Yeah. Let's see if it actually works.
So you're always just comparing... Well, in the first round, you're comparing the top against everything, and then the next round.
Right, exactly.
The second round.
Yes.
The other way seems more efficient. Yeah,
I think it is. Okay, this is, if you look under presentations under VBNet, this is a PowerPoint. It goes through that as well. And it's under presentations under VBNet. And it just does it picture-wise if you like pictures better than words. Okay? So it's going to give you the pictures. So I'm comparing 15 and 36, and they don't need to be flipped. And then I'm comparing 15 to 24, and they don't need to be flipped. And then I'm comparing 15 to 12, and they need to be flipped. So I go through the whole area and flip them. Okay. So that's the PowerPoint that goes with it. And it's under presentations under VBNet. So you can go through and look at that explanation if you like the visual better than the words. Okay? Okay. If we go back into Visual Basic, we'll see the sort verb. So we go back in, File, Open Project, and I've got Array Sort. So this has basically a sort verb in it. Maybe it doesn't. I thought by the name that this was the name of it. Array sought. I think that was the name. All right, go. Somebody go look for it and see if you can find which one it is. The sought verb, which one it is. I know I have it out there someplace. I didn't look at it because it was... So, for each. Array sought was the one I thought that it would be. Sought method. Okay, so sought method, let's try that one. Yeah. Okay, array dot sought.
So this is just doing a sort. I took in the numbers, and then I said array dot sort, and the array that I want to sort is the array called numArray.
And they magically do the sorts for you.
And they just magically do it behind the scenes.
Microsoft gets up right now again.
Right. I think actually now most languages have it. You know, have the sort in it.
Was it the way to sort it in reverse sort?
Yes, and I don't remember what it is, but if you go and look it up, there'll be a way to do it in reverse order so that you can do the descending.
Well, this is much easier.
You think? Magic happens. Okay, so enter the numbers, and it's prompting me for the numbers. 6, 2, 6. I'll put in 6 again. 12, 7. Okay, so there are my numbers, and that's the part that I said into numbers. Now when I hit sort, magic happens, and
makes
I've got
easier.
So all I'm doing here is saying I want to do an array sort, and this is the array that I want to use, and there's the array that I defined up above, so this is the array that I want to use, and I want to sort by that. Okay. So, it is considerably easier than doing it the other way. Okay. And she asked about doing it in reverse, and I'm sure that there is a way that you somehow put in the fact that you wanted it descending. If I'm remembering correctly, but I may be remembering the long language, whether it's sought and desought and something else, but I may be remembering the wrong language. One of them has a sought verb that you put in a letter, like desought if you wanted descending sought and that kind of stuff. So she's looking it up in the book, but I'm sure that if you go and do a Visual Basic descending sought, let's see, I'm sure she says Visual Basic descending sort.
I like to use YouTube too.
that's so much worse than that.
I'm like,
I'm not seeing how to. I'm not seeing a quick answer, so if you find one, let me know. Okay, so that's the sought verb. And the next thing I want to look at is redimming. So file, open project, and let's look for something that says redim. Test redim. Thank you. Okay. What redim does is it lets you redefine a table size. So if I have set up a table and say an array, I shouldn't say table, array. If I set up an array and I say it's got five elements in it, and then I want to add to it, I can redim it, which is redimension it. Okay, now when I redim it, I have two ways I can do it. I can just redimension it and start over, or I can redim and preserve, which preserves the stuff that's in it, so that I'm just adding on at the end. Okay? So, okay, so I'm going to start the gather. Start gather. Oh, that's right. It's this way. 12. Okay. Wait a minute. I just picked the wrong. This is a pain in the neck. Whoever wrote this should be shot. It really is a pain in the neck. And now it's not going to let me stop even. Not responding. Love that.
I think it's array.reverse.
Array.reverse. Okay.
I think it worked.
Go back and fix my program. And put the array.reverse in my program and see
this
if it
one,
works.
The one that you have, yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
And it works?
Yeah, let me test it again.
Okay. And this is not responding, so we'll ignore it for a minute. Ah, come on.
It reversed it, but not in alphabetical order. I mean, numerical order. Whatever you enter, it just reverses it.
Oh, okay. So that's not really sorting.
Yeah,
that's reversing.
Whatever you enter in whatever order, it reverses it.
So if you enter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it gives you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. It doesn't really work.
It just reverses the order. It's not doing sorting. It's reversing the order.
If you don't put it in order, then it's not going to
change. It's not going to change the order.
You're trying to...
Yeah. You over there.
You can do array.sort and in parentheses put the name of the array.
Yeah, that's what we've done, but I want
it's
to do it
working.
Now in reserve.
No,
it's working fine. How, no. How to do it in descending order. And I can't remember.
Pat's
less than this one. Mm-hmm. This is Pat's less
than this one.
Yeah.
Maybe you can
do it for sure.
Yeah.
He's got,
yeah, right.
We're all pointing at him like,
that guy over there. You can't just do the sort and then do what you just said to the first.
Apparently descending does just changes the order of the numbers as in
as
flips them as opposed to sorting in descending order.
Yeah, when you have a very random order.
Right. Because, okay, we're not going to have time to do this anyway, so let's go back to that. Because I looked at the clock.
So that drive everybody crazy.
File, oh, close project. Because this one is a pain in the neck.
Yeah, that should take you off.
No. It got some good points. It's just remembering which button to click. And I actually played with it this weekend, but that was apparently too long ago. Okay, so sort method. And so you told me that, how did you write it? Tell me the words.
Actually, I fixed it. What you have to do is, you do array.sort,
yep,
num array, and then at the bottom you do array.reverse. So you sort it first.
Wait a minute, what do you mean by
this?
That's what I was just trying to say.
You sort it first, sort
and then
you say it. Oh, okay.
It goes backwards because it's sorted first.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it's two different things.
That seems really convoluted.
Yeah.
Why don't you just have a sort D or something that will sort it?
That's my
design.
They did one thing right, and then they
got complicated way right here on the MSDN. And I think that's a lot easier.
So, what do I write now if I want to see this? Give me the line. Array. Let's try spelling array right. Dot what?
Reverse. Num array.
Try spelling right. Okay, and actually I wanted to put that up before the for statement, right?
Yeah.
So that we'd sort it.
Yep.
Okay. And leaving the second one in didn't mean no good. Okay, so.
I hope they even have it in the book.
Okay, so if I say sort, yep, that worked. So it sorted it and then did the reverse. I still claim there ought to be a sort D.
I think you should send that suggestion to them.
No, 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 no.
She's like, no.
Okay, so that's the way that goes. Okay, as I said, I hadn't looked at the clock when I started the other one. We're almost done, and so we'll do read-in next time and finish that off, and that will, I think, probably finish off arrays the Tuesday after vacation. I did take a picture of that, I think. All righty. Have a productive vacation. Pat and I are around for a little while this afternoon. And Janelle and I talked about something we needed to do, and I don't remember.